For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Murray makes a move. There's a
right. Woo! Goodman, Hurdle. You can watch us, MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, Grand Basket Patio Furniture Company, having an auction featuring four industrial pillow stuffing machines, a warehouse fan, pallet racking, cushion covers, and cushion inserts. The auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com. /MHS, at the risk of being completely blasphemous, to celebrate the opening night of Passover, the Nuggets, who are the Lakers' daddy, smited their firstborn male child. How do you like what I just did there?
Wow. By the way, thanks for the Kugel this morning.
You're welcome.
I got a little, we all do, yeah. Nigel got some, Alex has some, I have some, and it's fantastic. Now, I had to check to see if it was poisoned or altered in any fashion.
Only a couple of times with my cooking have people gone to the hospital.
But I have got to tell
you. One recently, but that's not the point.
But I'm going to say this right now. Good.
It's like a dessert.
Well done, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Well done, and very much appreciated for you thinking about us. Wow. Just an absolute wow. A game that for the first 24, 34 minutes looked like it was just dead in the water. And you asked the question yesterday towards the end of the show, how do the Lakers win this? Well, they showed you how they can win it.
They did, didn't they?
The formula for the Lakers was on display last night. They had three guys scoring, they had everything where they needed it. But the resilience and the belief of the Nuggets to come back and win a dog like they played for most of this game in a playoff game against the Lakers, where the Lakers end up bitching, if you can believe it, afterwards, about the officials.
Right.
I want you to think about that.
We didn't get all of the calls.
Oh,
yeah, we got
90%,
but we need all of them.
I mean, the Lakers always are probably another 8-9 times at the line than any team they play. Not just the Nuggets, any team.
Over 500 more times than the second team
in the league
that gets to the line.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of that is the way that they play, and you give them credit. But I don't want to hear that whiny crap afterwards.
Right.
You know what? And Jamal Murray, at some point, maybe he's going to hit, you know, some, he's going to hit some, a percentage of shots, but his belief never wavered. And he hit the two most important ones back to back when he had to.
Well, his teammates kept saying, keep shooting.
Keep shooting, which is what you do, right?
Yeah.
He's a shooter.
Actually, I'm going to respectfully disagree on something.
Go right ahead.
He hit the most important shot, which was over Anthony Davis, and I found it to be somewhat comical that Anthony Davis wound up on the Nuggets bench.
Yeah.
And he basically had a difficult time getting off of it because of the swarm of Nuggets just mobbing Jamal Murray and you know.
Well, it was a joyous moment.
It was. Anthony Davis got a front row seat.
And Anthony Davis was cool. Yeah. I mean, that dude was unbelievable yesterday. Unbelievable last night.
Jamal Murray gets all the accolades for having a rough night. And by the way, there were plenty of times I kept thinking to myself, Jamal, please stop shooting. Let other people get involved. MPJ is playing well. Aaron Gordon's playing well. KCP is playing better in the fourth quarter. Although, yep. You know, Jamal had 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, he did his damage at crunch time.
It's so funny that the casual observer will say that Jamal and Jokic are the reasons why they won this game. And you can make a strong case for that. Look at what Jokic did again with his line score. 27 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists, yada, yada, yada. Yep. Jamal hits the game-winning shot. But the key play of the entire game was Aaron Gordon picking up a rebound at the baseline, kicking it out for a quick dagger three from MPJ. If that play does not happen, we're tied at one.
Yeah.
We are tied at one.
Well,
We're tied at one.
And you're absolutely right. And you map that out very nicely. There were probably four or five moments like that.
If you don't get it. No, that was the key. Yeah. That was the one at that time in the game where the ball was getting ready to go out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then while MPJ has a quick trigger, he had to have the quickest trigger.
And that was only with a 1:20 left or something or other. I mean, they didn't tie this game until there was like a 1:18 or something like that left.
Right. Time now for the lead.
The Lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
We kind of poked fun at Darvin Ham yesterday, saying, well, he was saving some stuff for game two or maybe game three. I don't know if what I'm about to say is something that he was saving, but we have found the way to beat Jokic. There's a way to beat Jokic, and I'm not kidding when I say it.
All right.
There is a way to slow him down scoring. Not necessarily grabbing rebounds, but scoring. You need a guy to work him over defensively. And that's what Anthony Davis did. He was getting his shots at will, and Jokic was playing the best he could defensively, and he had no answers for Anthony Davis. I think that Jokic is working so hard on the defensive end that he was more than happy just to be a passer on the offensive side. But what I find interesting is that they rode Anthony Davis in the first half, and then they went away from it in the second half. He scored 6 points in the third quarter and went scoreless in the fourth. And I understand LeBron went LeBron.
Yeah.
How in the world do you not get... They lost that game not because of the refs. Not because of Jamal Murray's shot. Not because of MPJ's shot and the rebound by Aaron Gordon. They did not get Anthony Davis involved enough, specifically in that fourth quarter, because he was hitting everything, forcing Jokic to work and high percentage shots.
I wonder how tired he was.
Anthony Davis?
Yeah. I wonder how tired he was down the stretch.
Exhausted, I'm sure.
God dang, he was good last night.
Unbelievable.
I mean, just... the best player on the floor.
How much of a jackass do I look like?
No.
Talking about it on the show yesterday, the big drop-off between game one and game two that I pointed out in the playoffs last year, and he was unbelievable. He was hitting everything.
But historically, you're correct.
Historically, I was right.
Historically, you're correct, and that's all you really have. What has happened in the past is generally a fairly good indicator for what will happen in the future. Not always directly. And last night was a one-off. And it was a one-off because one of the main strategies was attacking Jokic man-to-man.
Very rarely.
With Anthony Davis.
Most teams don't have that guy who can attack
right.
him.
And Anthony Davis got into a tremendous flow. That second quarter was as good as I've seen a player play in a quarter. He just absolutely dominated, and he made Jokic work. He shot from various places on the floor. Wasn't just taking. When he did go to the basket, he went strong.
That's how you stop him, or at least that's how you slow him down.
Right.
Because most guys, there aren't a lot of great centers in the league. Not a ton. I mean, you have Embiid, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You have Anthony Davis when he is on. But how many guys are great centers in this league that can force Jokic to work?
And even with that, he still went 14 of 19. You're not counting on that all the time. That's a remarkably high percentage.
I'll tell you this. As the game was getting closer, this did cross my mind. And no, I'm not a traitor, okay, when I say this. I want the Nuggets to win again. I'm not a sports fan of any of these teams, but I want them to win. I was actually screaming when
oh, how could you not?
And that's not
it's
my
like being
personality.
A little kid, man. That is awesome.
It is not my personality to give a whoa, and it happened multiple times in the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. Very uncharacteristic of me. With that, D'Angelo Russell had a game proving everybody wrong that, yes, I can still play at this level, right? Then you have Anthony Davis, and then you have LeBron James going down the stretch, who was nothing short of sensational.
He was LeBron.
He doesn't look like a 39-year-old guy.
He doesn't.
So I'll tell you two thoughts that I had as that game was winding down. There was a part of me that thought, I'm going to actually feel very sorry for this Lakers team if they lose this game. As the score is being whittled down, I'm like, the Nuggets just can't do this to them again, can they? It's almost like I felt pity on these guys. Like, they're really going to lose again, and they're going to blow a 20-point lead, and it's going to be historic. It's like, you almost want to give them a hug, like, listen, guys, it's not your fault. I actually felt badly for those guys in a fleeting moment. But this was my other thought. We have talked about the signature moment or moments for Jamal Murray in the playoffs when he went head-to-head, game-to-game with Donovan Mitchell.
Which was
in the bubble.
Unreal.
I think what he did in the fourth quarter last night, going mano-a-mano with LeBron James, was the most impressive feat of his playoff career. He went head-to-head, excuse the pun, with the king, who was on, who was hitting everything, putting up crazy shots, taking over. And Jamal Murray was like, I'll go head-to-head with you.
Yeah.
To me, this was his signature moment. And I know he scored 50 and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, a couple of times, right.
It's like going head-to-head with Michael Jordan. It's like going head-to-head with Kobe Bryant and winning.
In a game where it was virtually lost.
Yeah. And he looked virtually lost.
Totally. Totally.
If there's one word I can think of to give me one adjective that describes this game. You get one word, because I thought of mine last night. Give me one word that describes this game. Could it be euphoric? Could it be exciting? Pick your word.
I will go with surprising.
Okay. And I'm going to go with improbable. This win was as improbable as you were going to get. They're down by 20. Anthony Davis is having a game. So is D'Angelo Russell. Jamal Murray is struggling. And they won this thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, and it won't get the attention that it probably should. But their defense in the third and fourth quarter allowed them to win this game, to get back in this game, to then have the moment where they won it. The Lakers scored 40 points after a 59-point effort in the first half. The Lakers wear down.
Because they're old.
They wear
because
down.
Because their top two guys are older.
Right. They just do.
I'll give you something else I thought of. What would happen if we turn back the clock 5-6 years and you have a younger Anthony Davis and a younger LeBron? Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure the Nuggets are up 2-0 as much as they are down 2-0.
I would have that discussion. I really would. But they're up 2-0. They're going to L.A. They need one of the two in L.A. Pragmatically.
Yeah.
Just pragmatically. Right. I mean, you go try to win them both. But you really want to come back with one in that key game five at home, rabid crowd, chance to advance, all of those things. They've set themselves up extremely well with a little magic. And how ironic, the franchise of magic and the Nuggets had it last night.
For the first time in all the years I've been in Denver, which is 20 years, I'm going to compare the Denver Broncos to a youth soccer game. And this is what I mean. The game is going on. You're up by a bundle. Everybody is excited. And you have to clear out your bench. You got to put everybody in the game. Everybody has to play. Kind of like, we have to play. We have to put the Broncos in the show. After a big Nuggets win, very exciting. Because they have a new quarterback.
Well, okay.
That's next.
Mm.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman today. Grand Basket Patio Furniture Company having an auction featuring, this is a first for us, 4 industrial pillow stuffing machines, a warehouse fan, pallet racking, cushion covers, and cushion inserts. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, Sasquatch and Wildcard Casinos in Blackhawk, another great promotion, giving away $32,000 towards the purchase of a recreational vehicle from an authorized Colorado dealer, or a little over $22,000 in cash, and they're doing that Mother's Day weekend of May 12th. Get finalist entries every half hour, 10 a.m. until midnight during their daily cash drawings. And if you don't get drawn out, that's okay. They have a second chance drawing. Everybody's eligible if you don't get drawn out the first time. And that can turn into $7,000. Sasquatch and Wildcard Casinos, a family-owned casino that treats you like family. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Castle Rock Men's Health and Castle Rock in Aurora. See why Eric only trusts his health with Dr. Lee at Castle Rock Men's Health.
So the Broncos get rid of one Wilson, bring in another Wilson. This is Zach Wilson, not Al Wilson. Broncos get Wilson and a 7th. The Broncos give up a 6th. And to add more sweetener to this, this almost felt like a Brock Osweiler deal where the Jets were just trying to give him away. The salary is split. So total 5.5, do the math there. Overall, what do you think of the move?
I think it's great for Broncos fans who don't have to trade in their number 3 jerseys with the name Wilson on the back.
Well done.
I think that was my greatest takeaway. You know what? It was a no-brainer move only because it cost them virtually nothing. And you gain a veteran quarterback still on a rookie contract, who was good enough at one point to be the second player taken in the draft. And you have another opportunity, Mr. Quarterback Whisperer, to reclaim someone from the scrap heap.
Yep.
From that standpoint, no big deal. In fact, pretty damn good deal, I think, for the Broncos.
Low risk.
Absolutely.
High reward.
Right.
This is all I want to know, though. This is the only question I have. We know that Zach Wilson, and listen, I don't care if you hate Zach Wilson. You have to admit he has talent.
Sure.
He has arm talent.
He sure does.
The question is, what's his processor like?
Right.
And at this age, I'm sorry, his processor is not going to be fixed. It could improve, but it's not going to get exponentially better at this point.
I spent a lot of time running for his life in New York, and
I think we're trying in some ways to convince ourselves.
No, I'm not, you know, not, no, no, not even,
you know, the
really.
The Jets ruined quarterbacks. They're a dysfunctional franchise.
Yeah. You know,
all of that stuff.
Yeah, but no.
How did Sam Darnold do after he left the Jets? He didn't.
Oh, he's, yeah, right.
Maybe he just wasn't very good.
Although he did get a $10 million deal in Minnesota.
Good for him.
Very good for him. Like, surprisingly good for him, right?
Yeah, he got backup money.
I mean, it's like,
He got backup money.
Yeah.
He got backup money.
So I'll take the 2.5 that they got to pay Zach Wilson and roll with it. Look, how much difference is it really going to make in the meter anyway? The Broncos are a 6-5, 6 win team, probably. I mean, I know that they would probably shudder at that or discount that over at Dove Valley, and they should. They should feel like, we can win some games. Okay, great. Good. Go prove it. From the outside looking in, they do not look like a team that is going to contend on any level in the AFC West. So it's all good,
okay.
You ask me.
Here's the biggest question. Does this affect in any way their plans for the draft?
Well, that's a good question. I maintain that I still think that they move down, pick up a point, and then draft a quarterback later.
What I'm saying is, whatever they've been talking about,
mm-hmm.
on what they would like to do, maybe move up, maybe stay at 12, maybe move back, has any of that at all changed one bit?
Not necessarily, if they still have a guy that they love. I mean, that anything that they do around the question of, do we have a guy that we love, is immaterial. Because if they've got a guy that they love, all bets are off. They'll do whatever they need to do to go get him. But I do think that this gives them some, I'll use a George Payton term, flexibility. He loves the term flexibility as it relates to the draft, and it gives them more flexibility.
What's the flexibility that they get, that if they don't get the quarterback that they want,
I don't know how much things change from a standpoint of trying to get the guy that they want. The formula is still the same. They're not going to be in the top three.
Right.
They're not going to pick in the top three. If they're going to pick anywhere, they're going to pick four.
Let's look at something that George Payton said earlier this week. We believe there are 7 or 8 quarterbacks mm-hmm. that can play in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they can play in this league at different levels, according to the analysis, not only from the Broncos, but probably other people.
Right.
We haven't taken a really good look at the numbers there. What do I mean by that? We know who the top four guys are. I don't mm-hmm. need to rattle them off. So now we're down to number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Nix, probably Penix. If they don't get Nix, and I know they don't want Penix, now you're down to 7.
The next name would be, and I will repeat it, just
Spencer
for fun.
Rattler, I'm yep. sure.
It is. Well, he's the next one in line from a
now
general
you're down
standpoint.
To 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're down to 7.
Yeah. Then you've got Michael Pratt from Tulane in there somewhere.
Right.
Don't know. I don't think that this precludes them from still making a move if they believe they're in a position to do it. But I do think it gives them more of a fallback to trade down if they choose. And this is all conjecture on my part, because I don't know what they're thinking, what they're really thinking, how competitive they can be. Do they think that Zach Wilson can be a piece?
Do you think that Zach Wilson beats out Jarrett Stidham?
It's not automatic, right?
No.
It's not automatic.
No.
I mean, I know that there. No. I talked with a couple of people yesterday that were talking about Zach Wilson as a QB1, and I'm like, well, what makes you think that?
Right.
I mean, Jarrett Stidham has at least been in this program for an entire year.
And he's looked fabulous.
Well, okay, but he still has knowledge.
I understand that.
Right?
I mean, I'm almost being sarcastic.
I know you are. But, and again, let's take a different tact on this. In their heart of hearts, how competitive do you think Peyton and Peyton think the Broncos can be? Give me a number.
I think that coaches believe that they can always be competitive because they believe in themselves.
Absolutely. And I certainly think that's the case with Sean Payton.
No question.
Not even a question.
Yeah.
So do you think that in their heart of hearts that they think they can be 9? Can they be a 9-win team? In their heart of hearts, not you and me talking, in their heart of hearts.
Knowing Payton, knowing Sean, probably, yeah.
Okay. Then,
yep, you have to believe.
Then that makes to me the equation even more clear. You got to have guys to go win with, and you've got an opportunity at 12 to get a difference-making football player that's not a quarterback.
Right. I'm going to give one final thought before we talk about the Avalanche who play tonight. The jersey release was yesterday. Too much fanfare, too much disappointment, too much, wow, look at those. With that, why don't you give your thought, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about costumes. Give me a 30-second take. I'll give you my 30-second take, and let's move
on. And we'll call it good.
Yep.
I thought it was fine. I'm not going to go meh. It was okay. I like the all-whites. I think the all-white jerseys are damn nice. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yep.
The rest of them are fine, whatever. The throwback jersey is badass. And to me, that, I'm not going to say saved the day, but that was my best takeaway. That jersey is really cool. Love it.
Okay. And my thought is far more cynical. I find it rather ironic and comical that you have thousands and thousands of men who have zero fashion sense in their own daily wardrobe giving the Broncos fashion advice. Coming up after the break, who's going to start in goal?
That's come on. Next.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, Grand Basket Patio Furniture Company, having an auction featuring four industrial pillow stuffing machines, a warehouse fan, pallet racking, cushion covers, and cushion inserts. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is brought to you by Nola Jane Restaurant and Bar. Let Nola Jane spice up your next trip to Lodo with the best Cajun cuisine in Denver.
Well, we're going to probably know later this morning if Justice Annan is going to be able to potentially play tonight. Yesterday, he was too sick to practice at an optional practice. That leaves Georgiev and Ivan Prosvetov, who was brought up from the American Hockey League. Prosvetov was 4-3-1 with the Avs, 3.16 goals against average, save percentage below 90% in 11 games with 8 starts with the Avs during the regular season. If Annan can go, do you think he starts?
Yes, clearly.
And never played in a playoff game, and he's coming off being sick. There is no way he is 100%.
No, you're absolutely
so
right.
So you're taking a guy who has never played in the playoffs, is not going to be 100%, and you're putting him in there over Georgiev.
Yeah. Okay. I really am. And I just don't think that Georgiev is in a place mentally right now where he can perform. What makes you look at him and think, okay, we can squeeze something out of him. Just because he's been around all season long, just because he's won more games than anyone in the NHL, which is a very misleading stat, as we talked about yesterday, he's not going good. He's not seeing the puck. He's not playing well. And guys got to play better in front of him. I get that. And you can't ask this team all of a sudden to be different than the one that they've won 50 games with all season long. They play a certain way. You can't change the spots on the, what is it, a leopard? Whatever it is. You can't do it.
Leopard doesn't change its spots, I believe.
Right. And neither does a hockey team. This is who they are. So you got to... So even if it's a risk, even if it's a roll of the dice, even if it's a risky proposition, I think you got to take it. What's the worst that can happen? I mean, is Annan going to give up 6?
Well,
maybe.
Well, if you're asking, he's played against Winnipeg this mm-hmm. year, played about 44 minutes, and what, he gave up 4 goals? Three goals?
Yeah.
Something like that? He wasn't much better.
Half of Georgiev. Prosvetov, by the way, has also played against Winnipeg, and not with a good result.
Right.
He's got 5 starts, I think, this year with the Avs. He gave up 5 in a start on 24 shots for a not-so-sterling save percentage of .792 on December 16th at Winnipeg.
Here's the line that kind of gives me pause about Georgiev's mental mindset. Because you listen to what people say.
Sure.
Now, granted, I didn't hear him say that. I'm only reading a quote. When asked about what happened, he said they scored some really good goals and a couple of lucky ones. Oh, goodness. You're going to really go, they got lucky? Is that really your mindset that, man, if they didn't get lucky, I would have given up less than 7? How about I was just awful? You could say my defense wasn't very good in front of me, too, which you're not going to throw your own teammates under the bus.
No.
But don't go the lucky route. You got beaten every which way.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying, well, they got lucky. I don't know. If I'm Winnipeg and I'm reading that and I see Georgiev in goal, every time I put a puck in the back of the net, I'm thinking, was that lucky too?
Yeah.
I would say that to him every time. Was that lucky too?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I do. I'd skate by every single time tonight and say, hey, think you're going to stop one tonight?
Right.
Think you got a save in you tonight?
Right.
Just kind of remind him mentally.
The one thing that gives me a little bit more hope about tonight is something that Josh Manson brought up after the game. He said, I did feel like offensively I was contributing and I was making plays, but not really. That's not really my game. My game that has kept me in the NHL isn't putting points on the board. It's keeping pucks out of the back of the net, and I need to get back to that a little bit. Just getting harder to play against in front of the net, making better reads, and let the offense come from there. I think that is a very insightful point. Mm-hmm. When you have your defensive line mates scoring and jumping into the rush on the offensive end, sometimes you get caught up in that too. I want my piece. I want to be part of that. He's absolutely right that that is not his game. No one's going to look at Josh Manson as a guy who we need him to score the game-winning goal. We need him to push the puck up the ice. Understand who you are. Don't try and be something that you're not. He was a -3.
Yeah.
So was Taves, right? Taves is more of an offensive defenseman. I get that. But Manson needs to do what he does best and be more of a stay-at-home, physical guy, move guys out from in front of the net, instead of thinking, how quickly can I get up the ice?
Yeah. Well said. Couldn't agree more. There were two plays by him that directly led to goals
right
in that game. Directly. We talked about the centering in front of the slot from the corner yesterday was the most perplexing move I've ever, it was like, what are you doing?
It was tipped, but at the end of the day, it certainly did not work out well.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, as much as I love Zach Parise and I watch him score 3 goals tonight, having him on the top line is not ideal.
No, it's not.
But you're not going to blame injuries.
No.
Because honestly, if you're complaining about Drouin not being out there, then you've got bigger problems.
But I want to see Manson clear space tonight. That's my deal. And in the game the other night, I'm not creating any kind of excuses for Georgiev, but man, I mean, I don't know how clean the windshield was, because it looked like there was just so much interference constantly. And good for Winnipeg.
Right.
They did that's what you want to do, right? So I would expect them to, I would hope that they would be much more defensive on the blue line tonight philosophically. Let those guys up front do what they do. Get the puck out of the zone. Get going. But man, when they got to have it, they've got to lock down a little bit more.
Who do you think starting in goal tonight? Make a prediction.
Anonen. I think Anonen will start.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And I know he didn't. They had a optional practice yesterday.
Right.
He was not a part of it. And I mean, I don't know, man. I'm wavering.
We will find out later this morning if Anonen's on the ice.
Do you think Georgiev is sitting there thinking, God, I hope I'm starting tonight? Or do you think a part of him is saying, man, I hope Anonen is starting tonight?
Well, that's goalies are like relief pitchers. You have to have a short memory.
You do.
And we'll see if he does.
Yeah.
Because when you look at how he finished up the regular season, I don't know if he had a short memory or not, but the results were the same.
Yeah.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll talk about the Broncos' ownership and all their activities since taking over 20 months ago. And what did Cormani McClain say about Colorado's football program? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
When you are done, lay your weary head you cry no
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, smileyesports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman today. Grand Basket Patio Furniture Company having an auction featuring four industrial pillow stuffing machines, warehouse fan, pallet racking, cushion covers, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfields has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, since taking over 20 months ago, the Broncos ownership has been busy as they traded for and hired Sean Payton, spent $100 million in stadium upgrades, announced plans for a sprawling new practice facility, introduced the retro helmet last year, and now the full uniform redesign. How would you grade the Broncos ownership since taking over 20 months ago?
Well, I mean, any substantive grade will come out of the Sean Payton experience, and we're not there yet. We're in the midst of it. From a standpoint of everything they've done in an ancillary fashion, supportive fashion, I mean, it's an A. It's what you want. You want community-driven leadership. You want responsible ownership. And they've got deep pockets, and they're not afraid. They're willing to spend. Those are all really nice things about potential, about ownership, but we don't have the results yet on the field. They've owned for 2 years, and we've had two losing seasons.
I think they've done everything that they can do.
Yep.
I think that they were new to the business, which I don't think they were. And they're doing the best that they can, but it hasn't yielded results.
No.
I mean, I'm going to go back to the whole uniform thing. I don't care what your costume looks like. I care what you put in the costume. That's why I'm so, I don't want to say cynical about it. I don't care about your costumes. Who are you putting in the costume? Who are you putting in the costume starting on Thursday? And let's see how that works out.
Yeah. I mean, it's all it is a diversion. I mean, it's not even a diversion. It's just a cute little thing for people to consume.
You know what it is?
That's all.
It's lipstick on a pig. The lipstick looks great, but it's still a pig. And it is still a team that looks like it's going in the wrong direction, at least for this season, because they don't want to bring back Russell Wilson. And they still don't have a quarterback.
True.
I mean, they have an extra body.
Yeah.
But they still don't have a quarterback.
Right.
And yes, they improved from last year. It's kind of like, which team improved more? Was it Colorado or was it the Broncos? The Broncos improved by 4 games. The Buffs improved by 3 games. Who had a better improvement? Both were still under 500. One didn't make a bowl game or even came close, and the other one didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess Broncos, but not by a ton.
But I'm cheering for the Penners because I know they want to do the right
thing.
Yeah.
And this doesn't even count, and it's not like you omitted it on purpose. It doesn't count spending $400,000 to lay a new field on the last day of the last season, not the 2 seasons ago, in an otherwise meaningless football game. It doesn't count on Carrie Penner taking care of her players
right
with big travel bags for when they're cleaning out their lockers. The little touches as well that are just classy. I will say this about the Walton Penner Group. Sorry. It is a classy group of people that know how to do things right.
Yeah. They're doing all the ancillary things right. Well. But at the end of the day, it's about results.
And they know it.
Yep.
Greg Penner knows it. He knows that that's stop one in accountability is, are you winning football games?
Right.
All right, just in case you missed it, former Colorado defensive back Cormani McClain, who entered the transfer portal, said, "I just don't want to play for clicks. I actually want to be involved with a great leading program that's going to develop players." And then Deion Sanders said of McClain entering the portal, "I pray to God that he goes to a program that challenges him as well as holds him accountable and develops him as a young man." What do you think of Cormani McClain saying he doesn't want to play for clicks?
He needs to shut up and get his nose in the playbook.
Yeah, he really does. Interestingly enough, on this one, I'm kind of with Deion Sanders.
I'm totally with Deion Sanders on this.
I mean, I'm with him.
Then he has a parent as an enabler.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Just stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. You know, go get better. Go prove yourself. Let your deeds, let that speak for you instead of what comes out of your mouth.
I didn't play well because the coaching staff didn't like me. No, you didn't play because you didn't get into the playbook.
You didn't do the work.
Right. This isn't high school football anymore where you can just beat everybody up and down the field.
Totally.
It's just not. That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, they have a great price match guarantee, outstanding financing. They also have an entire staff that can help you redesign your kitchen instead of just, I need to buy an appliance. Best customer service out there, Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, a thriller.
Mm.
Improbable.
Mm.
I don't know if there are enough words. I don't know if there's enough hyperbole to describe what we saw last night. And how good do you feel about the Nuggets now just winning this series in 4 or 5? As they really did take the Lakers' best shot last night. That's next.
They're trying to track me down. They say they want to bring me in guilty for the killing of a dead.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.